Chapter 19. A Shot in the Dark.
"Why didn't you just call them in?" Dashiell asked.
It had been a while since she'd had a las pistol strapped to her right hip, but the weight of it was comforting as they hurried along the richly carpeted corridor, flanked by miniature Turrican palms with their constantly moving yellow-green leaves.
"If you'd been passing information to someone outside who was using it to kill navigators, and you were called in for a non-routine briefing by the head of security, would you go?"
Crane pointed out. He wore a bolt pistol, and the wolf was mag-clamped across his carapace backplate.
"I'd have an escape plan if it were me, and I don't want to bet that we can predict it."
It was a fair argument, Dashiell conceded. Luke had called up staff rotors and had hastily analysed which servants had access to all of the navigators who'd been killed so far. Tanamariel, Zulantis, and Avamar Duchoy. And who, therefore, would have been able to communicate their comings and goings. For the moment, they were working on the hope that there was a single culprit. If each victim had been sold out by a different servant, then the odds of tracking down those responsible were minuscule. The halls of Brabantis Palace were quieter than usual. They were down to a skeleton staff, due to most of the servants being given leave to celebrate the feast of the Emperor's ascension. Dashiell felt ashamed that she'd not yet taken the time to offer up proper worship to the God Emperor today, but she was hunting down his enemies, and she simply had to hope that he would understand. Unfortunately, the low staffing levels applied to security as well. The palace was far from undefended. That would never happen, but certain things had been prioritised. External security at gates and landing pads was, of course, still at full strength. Likewise, the celebrations for Brabantis navigators, minus Lady Chetamande and Lord Vitariel, who'd been invited to the governor's feast, would be well guarded and patrolled in the main dining halls and leisure chambers. But the incidental security? The armed guards standing at corridor junctions or located in the small guardhouses throughout the complex was less prominent. This was why Luke Crane was hunting down Mademoiselle Fortuna Batan, who'd served all three of Tanamariel, Zulantis, and Avamar Duchoy, with no backup except Lady Chetamande's personal aide and her las pistol. They'd come up with nearly 24 possible suspects, many of them still on duty, despite the celebrations, and other security duos were locating the rest. Dashiell had tried to persuade Crane to send more guards for the jobs, but he'd been loath to pull any more away from their stations. The suspected cultists weren't their only enemies, Crane had pointed out. Dakar had declared a trade war and might have agents within the palace as well. It wouldn't do for them to become aware that security's attention was largely focused away from their primary responsibilities. According to her rota, Fortuna Batan was currently assigned to Savimir Tej Brabantis, an elderly navigator with very limited personal mobility, who generally shunned the social events of his kin. Savimir resided on the lower levels of the palace when he wasn't in service to a ship, and that was where they were heading now.
"You have to bind us?"
Crane asked for the second time. A pair swung at his own belt too, but he'd insisted that Dashiell take some. Quite why? Dashiell wasn't sure. If Crane couldn't secure this servant for whatever reason, she didn't feel that she'd have much hope.
"Yes,"
she replied, instead of arguing.
"And if you see any hint of witchcraft, shoot her,"
Crane added. Dashiell rubbed her bare neck uncomfortably as they turned onto a wide, ornate staircase leading down to the next level. She really didn't like to think about that. They were halfway to the bottom, and Dashiell's weight was just coming down onto the next step when the lights below went out.
"That's not supposed to happen, is it?"
she said, coming to a halt behind Crane. The light from above was still steady and cast a long pool of colour in front of them into which their shadows stretched, broken up into zigzag shapes by the stairs. Beyond that, though, was the utter darkness of an unlit corridor with no windows.
"These aren't the quarters for navigators with visual oversensitivity,"
Crane agreed. Dashiell cursed silently.
"Have you got a light?"
"Of sorts." Crane unslung the wolf and activated it. The power axe flared into life, casting a shimmering, blue-white glow out into the darkness. It didn't seem to illuminate so much as it did pick out shadows. But it was something.
"We should call for backup,"
Dashiell offered, unholstering her las pistol. It felt cool and reassuringly solid in her hand, and she was relieved to realise that her palm wasn't sweaty.
Once upon a time, she'd have been alarmed by the prospect of even holding a gun. Those days were long, long behind her, though, and it didn't seem as if her time spent as Lady Chattermande's aide had blunted her readiness.
It could be a malfunction, or a distraction, Crane argued. We don't have the bodies to go jumping at shadows this evening.
These shadows jumped at us,
Deschelles pointed out, but she didn't push it.
Very well. You first.
Crane advanced down the rest of the staircase, bolt pistol in his left hand and the wolf in his right. Deschelles followed, las pistol held low in both hands, scanning behind them. If this was a hostile move, it wouldn't be out of the question for an attacker to get them peering into the dark and then jump them from behind out of the light.
You know what I said about how tight the security is here?
She asked. A nasty thought had just occurred to her, and was even less comfortable for the fact that it had come when she was feeling her way cautiously backwards down the staircase with her left foot.
And how that meant that even someone who could walk through walls wouldn't try their luck.
Yeah?
Well, it's not so tight tonight, and anyone who's been passing them information would know that.
Deschelles heard a slow intake of breath behind her. Then a noisy exhalation, followed by the barely audible click of a combead activating.
This is Crane. Activate lockdown. I want eyes on every navigator until further notice. And I mean eyes. Watch for trickery, and don't assume a room is clear just because it looks like it.
Thank you,
Deschelles said after a moment of silence had passed.
You got a good brain, Devoir,
Crane replied.
Her ladyship takes your counsel. I'll be a fool not to do the same.
Deschelles had reached the last step now, and she was somewhat relieved to find level floor behind her. Tumbling backwards down a few steps might not have been a disaster, in and of itself, but it could have critically disrupted Crane's concentration had she collided with him, or, if he was feeling particularly tightly wound, caused him to strike at her with the wolf before registering that she wasn't an assailant.
Come on, Crane said, gesturing with his axe. Lord Savamir's chambers are in this direction.
He set off at a jog, quick enough to eat up the ground, but not a headlong charge. Deschelles followed, trying to watch everything around them as the deep shadows cast by the wolf's power field jerked around in time with Crane's strides. She felt horrendously claustrophobic, which wasn't an experience she'd ever had before, because the walls on either side of her could well be no protection from the enemy they thought they might be hunting. If they were dealing with a witch who could walk through walls, could the intruder also see through walls? Were they being stalked by a psyker who could monitor them and pick a moment to strike? Or would their quarry be coming through blind? If indeed, their speculation about the murderer was at all accurate. Could it in fact be some species of Xenos that was hunting navigators and not a human mutant at all? Crane came to a T-junction and cut left, then came to an abrupt halt.
You! Stop!
Deschelles reached the junction a moment later and swung to face right, sweeping her las pistol across the gloom there, just in case it should disgorge a threat. The sound of running feet on thick carpet pulled her attention around, and a moment later she jerked involuntarily as Crane's bolt pistol roared and the walls were lit up for a moment by the bolt's propellant flame. Deschelles had heard a bolt weapon discharged in an enclosed space before, but the sheer force of the noise still nearly buckled her knees. There was a crash from further down the corridor, and as she peered past Crane's imposing frame, she saw a slight figure disappearing around the next corner, at the furthest reaches of the illumination cast by the wolf. Half a yard away from where the figure had just vanished was a large hole in the wall, beyond which further darkness lurked. Closer to them, the carved and gilded door of what had to be Savamir Brabantis's chambers stood ajar.
Come on! Crane barked, breaking into a flat-out run. Deschelles did her best to keep up, but the head of security was moving quicker than anyone she'd ever seen.
Is it the killer?
She called at his receding back. By the Emperor, she didn't want him to get too far ahead and leave her alone and in the dark, away from the light of the wolf.
It's Bertan!
Crane shouted. He'd reached the next corner already and was going so fast he actually jumped up and took two quick steps along the wall on the far side, bounding off to continue his pursuit with a minimum loss of momentum. He disappeared around the corner, and so did the light of his axe. Deschelles gritted her teeth and tried to speed up, even though her brain was whirling. Should she go back and check on Savamir? But his chamber had looked pitch dark as well, and if there was a killer close by, then she'd be better off sticking close to Crane, if she could. She skidded around the corner, giving brief thanks for the thick carpet that actually afforded her some traction, rather than the polished wood or stone that was favoured in some areas of the palace, and stumbled to a halt just before she collided with Crane's broad back. He was only a few paces past the corridor junction, and standing over a sprawled body.
"You got her?"
Dashiell asked breathlessly, covering the body with her las pistol just in case.
"Not I," Crane said,
his voice heavily weighted with unease. He leaned low over the body, bringing the wolf down in close proximity to it to maximise the illumination the weapon could provide. His head and upper body was directly over it, lighting him up in the cold blue-white and casting a deep shadow onto the ceiling. He reached out with the muzzle of his bolt pistol and prodded Batan's head, which lolled limply.
"Broken neck? But how?"
Dashiell recognised the sudden surge of nausea that rose up within her, a split-second warning of danger.
"Look out!"
she screamed, not knowing what she was warning of, nor from where it was coming. It dropped from the black morass of shadows that hid the ceiling and plunged a glowing power blade of its own into Crane's back. The head of security threw himself to one side, but the knife still sheared through his carapace armour and bit deep, just to the left of his spine. Crane roared and spun, throwing his assailant off him. The other man's power knife winked out, and he was lost in the shifting shadows as Crane swung the wolf through where the attacker had been a moment before. Dashiell stumbled backwards in alarm as the axe cut through the air within a handspan of her face, then raised her las pistol as the power knife snapped into life again.
"Behind you!"
She couldn't get a clear shot. Crane staggered sideways as the power blade plunged into his ribs, then was yanked out to release a gout of blood, terrifying in its ferociousness. Whatever stimulants had supercharged Crane's metabolism weren't enough for him to lay a weapon on his adversary, and would merely ensure he bled out far quicker than he otherwise might.
"Run!"
Crane rasped at her, turning and cutting clumsily with the wolf, but hitting nothing except empty air. He raised his bolt pistol and fired wildly as he staggered in a circle, sending bolts into the ceiling and the walls. Dashiell dropped to her knees as he swung towards her, suddenly cut off from her escape route by the wavering muzzle of his gun. The tip of the power knife burst through the front of Luke Crane's throat in a sizzle of burned meat and flash-drying blood. Dashiell sprang up from the floor, firing her las pistol one-handed at and around Crane in the hope that she might hit something, and fleeing back down the corridor along which she'd come, away from the murderous phantom, with a glowing power blade, who could apparently appear and disappear at will. She'd not had time to call for help, but what should she say? If she called reinforcements here, would she not leave others unguarded? If the attacker could move so freely? Another nauseous lurch. Another instinctive scream of warning inside her skull. She dived forwards and rolled as she'd been trained to, just as a blue-white power knife flashed into life and slashed through where her head should have been. She didn't stop to gape at the impossibility that someone who'd just been behind her had got ahead of her. Didn't stop to shoot. Just kept running as she heard a snarl of apparent frustration. Luke Crane had tried to fight this killer, and he'd died. She wouldn't stand a chance. Gut warnings or no. The blue-white glow of the power blade snapped out again behind her, just as she turned into the first corridor where the lights had gone out, with the still-lit staircase at the end. She accelerated, expecting at any moment to feel a searing pain in her spine, or see a knife-wielding silhouette lunge from the walls at her, with her intuition abruptly and fatally silent.